When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
There is another Wookiee Jedi named Bur Yaga. He's a possibility.
He's a big deal.
That's true.
In the books.
So.
If he shows up, we're going to have a problem in the best way.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Star Wars Explained Weekly Q&A. I'm Alex.
I'm Molly.
And what did we get up to the last week? Before we get into Star Wars stuff, just play a little catch-up.
What was the world like before Tuesday?
Well, I was laughing about how last week in our Q&A, we wound up talking a lot about the Acolyte. And it just so happened that the trailer came out.
We willed it into being.
Yeah. I thought that was very fitting.
So we went to a local theater called the Plaza Theater. It's a great place. If you're ever in Atlanta, check it out.
It's like an Atlanta landmark.
Yeah. It's kind of an old school theater. But we went and saw Terminator 2 there on Friday, last Friday, which is a perfect film. And anyone who doesn't agree with that is just wrong.
It's been a long time since I've seen T2, and I had a blast watching it. We watched Terminator 1 last week to prepare.
Not a perfect film.
I was like, this is a lot cheesier than I remember. I mean, the last time I saw it, I was much younger, I think, so I was like probably scared of it. Mm-hmm. And then watching it again, I'm like, it's a good premise. You can see how it impacted movies going forward and everything, but I was like, this is a little cheesier than I remember it being. But then watching T2, I was like, this is just great.
It's got everything good that a movie could ever need.
As an action movie, it's just wonderful. Like, the effects are still pretty impressive, but I was blown away by some of the stunts I'd forgotten about. Like, that helicopter that goes under a bridge and then over a bridge,
yeah,
after almost hitting it, and I'm like, they're really doing that as far as I can tell. It's like you just don't see stuff like that as much anymore.
Yeah. And our friend Zach Burkett went in costume. They had a little costume contest. They had like a themed drink. It was a good time.
It was a fun time. If you're in Atlanta and you've never been to the Plaza Theater, check it out.
It was hosted by a Joystick Game Bar, which is another fun spot in Atlanta that has a bunch of cool arcade games and all that kind of stuff.
At home, we dealt with an adventure of our own that I was like, I think I could probably find a way to put a Star Wars spin on this. But for the past maybe month, I've been hearing something in the ceiling. And we kept on, like,
we're just going slowly insane. Like,
what's going on here? But finally, I confirmed, yes, there was a squirrel in the attic. And so we got a trap, a humane trap, and set it up, caught it. And we immediately, like, felt bad and guilty. But this poor thing had, like, a perfect setup in our attic. But
I felt more bad about just having to relocate it away from its friends and family.
Well, that may have worked out okay, because like the following day, a second squirrel was in the attic.
We started hearing the scratching again, and we were like, oh my God, what the heck?
Or it was the same squirrel. I don't think it could have made it. We drove it like 10 miles away. I don't think it could have made it back, but I'm going to assume that we drove one of its friends over, and now they're together and they're happy. To put a Star Wars spin on it, I felt that we were very in tune with nature, and we didn't want to cause any harm to any living being. It wasn't causing harm to us other than kind of driving us insane, because we thought we just heard scratching in the attic.
It was also driving Hilo insane.
Yeah, Hilo would bark every time he heard it.
He would hear it, and I think he thought that our cat Pippin was somehow in the attic, because his barks were very, like, worried sounding.
He's like, how'd Pippin get up there?
He was just worried about whoever was stuck in the attic.
It was very Lassie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Someone's stuck in the attic. But there's our catch up on kind of our personal life, our own little adventures from the past week. But as far as Star Wars goes, the big thing to talk about now is still the Acolyte trailer, I would say. Like you said.
Like I said last week, I was like, oh, I should have worn my Acolyte shirt.
Yeah, you were just saving it. You didn't want it to be dirty.
Yeah, it still is dirty. I wore it the other day.
Yeah, I was wearing my same High Republic shirt for like 3 days in a row, just for recording purposes.
Speaking of High Republic, got it all out to show, out on display. We've got
all of our Q&A props, 3D printed stuff.
Yeah, this is Skeer's lightsaber.
Skeer's lightsaber, Dagangera's lightsaber.
Dagangera's looks so dope.
I love that one.
And then we've got a nice little vector in the middle representing the High Republic in a big way.
We, of course, got several questions about the High Republic trailer. So Ormappa just asks, what in the trailer got us the most excited? You know, like, we've already done a live stream. I did a breakdown. But we haven't really just talked about personally what are we most excited about. We more just did breakdown stuff.
Very generally, just seeing all the new Jedi. No one we saw in that trailer, no one was familiar. Mm-hmm. Like, it seemed all new. It seems like that one shot of Vernestra coming in, you know, that seems like we're going to maybe see the Jedi Council chambers, something like that.
I bet we will at some point. I think we'll revisit some familiar locations, familiar characters. I would be shocked if we didn't see Yoda.
I'm the most excited about seeing all the Jedi again.
Who's your favorite of the new characters that's popped up so far? Because I definitely have a runaway favorite.
Aside from the Jedi, I think the character that I'm the most curious about is the witch.
Mother Anaïssa? I'm waiting for a pronunciation guide for someone to tell me how to say that name. Yeah. My favorite so far is Yord, which easy name to say, but I...
Oh, the rule follower.
Exactly. I was like, I immediately relate to you. You are a rule follower and you have trouble breaking out of those boundaries. And I think it probably will get him into trouble. Hmm. So I look forward to seeing him be challenged. I think it's funny though, you talking about the witch. One of our group chats, we've been talking about the Acolyte and saying like, I don't trust so-and-so, I don't trust so-and-so. And we were talking about all of the Jedi and kind of not talking about Mei or the literal witch. I was like,
she's
they
never done
us...
anything wrong in her life.
They showed us a witch and we're like, she's probably fine.
She's great. Love
but
her.
I'm really excited for the character of Sol. But just the fact that on his data bank it says he is a well-respected Jedi Master, I'm like, what skeletons are you hiding? Mm. I think there's going to be some darkness in all of these characters' past.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the whole idea, right? We're seeing Jedi at the height of their power. And so let's take the best of the best and bring them down a few notches.
It's interesting because, yeah, the High Republic era starts like 400 years before the Acolyte and ends right around the Acolyte, so...
Yeah, we're at the tail end of the High Republic in the Acolyte.
So really, it is like, are they at their best now? We're in this transitionary period.
We think they are.
And I definitely think the conflict with the Nile is going to change the Jedi, so we're going to be coming off of that, and I think we're already going to see that they've changed a bit. But yeah, I'm like, knowing this is a mystery thriller... Mm-hmm. I'm already looking at every character like they're a suspect.
I should say, too, like, I am excited, like I said, about all the new Jedi, and it feels weird to say that and then pick one character and have it not be a Jedi. But I think what I'm excited about is anyone coming along, whether it be a witch or the Sith or, you know, some dark side acolyte, anyone coming in to throw a wrench into this whole happy time is who I'm excited for.
I am so excited about the idea that this could be a murder mystery, mm-hmm. and have an element of whodunit.
Yeah.
Because just from a week-to-week episode basis, I feel like we're all going to have a blast being like, okay, now who do you think did it?
Yeah.
Like, from the start, we'll probably have our suspects and things will twist and turn. And so every week we'll be like, okay, now I think Sol is cool, but now my eyes are on Endara. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be really fun to break down.
It's giving me Clue vibes. It's giving me Knives Out
little
vibes.
Agatha Christie.
Yeah.
That's kind of... I am wondering if it's going to be sort of like And Then There Were None, where someone's killing Jedi, and it's probably one of our main cast of characters, but every episode, another cast member gets picked off, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, well, I thought it was him, but now he's dead. And yeah. so there's a lot of potential for this idea. And now we're kind of speculating off of things. It was a minute and 46 seconds long. So,
but I feel like I've known it for years.
I mean, we have been living with a lot of that footage for a while. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it does feel like, especially the fight between May and Indara, that was all shown at Celebration. Everything after that was pretty much new.
We kind of got some idea of what this was going to be early on in like 2020 when it was announced. But so we've just been kind of ruminating on that aspect of it for so long that I do feel like I've kind of known the basic story of what this is going to be for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It feels like we've been living with it for a while, and now we have finally gotten some payoff.
And I am very excited, but I need to remember to keep my expectations in check as well. It might not be that much of a whodunit, and that's okay. Like, you know, I've already seen people putting a lot of expectations on this show about what Sith characters might show up, and I'm like, pump the brakes a little bit. We don't know.
Yeah. I gotta also give a special shout out to Vernestra being in this. I don't know how much she's going to be in it. I have a feeling she might not be in it a whole lot, but I am very, very excited to see her portrayed on live action.
She didn't seem like one of the main characters. We saw her in a couple shots, but for the most part, it looked like it was focusing on the others. So yeah, I wonder if she is on the Jedi Council at this point, and maybe she comes in. She's like there at the start, comes in at the end to kick some ass, mm-hmm. break out the light whip.
Yeah. Oh man, we got to see that in
live action.
Leslie
Headland did talk about it in an interview. She mentioned it as Vernestra's weapon. She did talk about it like in the context of the books, mm-hmm. but I'm like, if she knows, and it's already established, I feel like she's going to go, yeah, I want to put that in here in live action.
Why call it a light whip if you're not going to show it to us?
Yes, exactly.
One last thing that got me super excited was the fight choreography. We just saw like a little taste of it, but it was, I think it was the same shot that we saw from Celebration.
Yes.
And so that got me hyped. It looks so crisp and clean. And just like a fun time.
The first half of the trailer is basically what they showed at Celebration. And then at Celebration, there was a different second half. Yeah. So there were some extra shots. I remember a Nemoidi in there. I feel like I remember a Zabrak that was not a Jedi. It kind of looked like it was in the same place where we saw Kel Naka and Sol and Indara on some. It looked like they were being surrounded by shady looking characters. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the fight between Indara and May, and then May and Sol, both of those looked just so fun.
Yeah.
And we got that taste of it in Ahsoka with Ezra. And I'm like, yeah, give me more of that. More Force Kung Fu, or yeah. whatever we're going to call it.
Force Kung Fu. It's very Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. It's very Matrix, especially with Carrion Moss being there. I'm so ready.
Yes. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. With our hectic schedule, even making a good lunch is difficult for me. Factor's 2-minute meals let you fuel up fast with restaurant-quality meals delivered right to your door. Factor also offers breakfast options like pancakes, smoothies, and more. There's no prep and no mess. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. Head to factormeals.com/StarWars50 and use code StarWars50 to get 50% off. That's code StarWars50 at factormeals.com/StarWars50 to get 50% off. We mentioned the books a bit, and Samil Mukherjee asks what High Republic books they should read before The Acolyte. Mm-hmm. I will point out that I don't think you need to read anything. I've seen a lot of concern about that, people saying, I want to get into this, but I don't want to have to read a bunch of books and do homework beforehand. Leslie Headland has said, you don't have to read anything to understand what's happening here.
Because like we said, this is at the tail end of the High Republic timeline. And so the only character that we know of from the books that we've seen so far that's going to be in this is Vernestra. So as far as book recommendations, if you want to just get to know Vernestra, I'd say, I mean, you could start with her introduction, which was the middle grade book, Test of Courage. It is meant for a younger audience, but it's still a great little story, and it introduces her to the story in a really fun way.
She's a 15-year-old Jedi Knight at that time. She's a very young knight, kind of a prodigy, and she takes on a Padawan. And so you get to see her journey throughout mostly the books. There's a Test of Courage, Escape from Valo, Out of the Shadows, and Mission to Disaster. Those are all the Phase 1 books. Most recently, she's been in Defy the Storm, and I think she's going to be in Temptation of the Force? She's going to be in one of the adult novels soon, I think.
So, thus far, she has not been in any of the adult novels?
Not in a major role.
Okay.
She's, like, popped in and out.
Yeah.
So, if you want to get her story, you can read those, but you're not going to have to know everything about Vernestra Rowe before you watch this series.
No, and other than that, like, if you just want an intro to the High Republic in the time period that is shown in the books so far, I would just start with those first three adult novels. Light of the Jedi,
The Rising Storm.
Rising Storm, and Fallen Star.
Yeah.
Those first three adult novel books are so good, and it basically gives you a perfect intro of what the High Republic Jedi are like at their true height, I guess I should say. Like, Acolyte is going to still be at their height, but on their way down.
Yeah. I don't know what the curve of the High Republic looks like.
Yeah.
Like, in the middle of the era, they might be like, boom, here's our height, and then it kind of goes back down.
The Acolyte is showing us the end of the High Republic.
Right.
So.
And the beginning, basically, of we're moving into the fall of the Jedi era.
Right. I feel like we need one of those cork boards with the red string and just like a laser pointer to explain the timeline, because the timeline is very confusing.
And I have recently done a video on every era in Star Wars, if that will help people. Just what's the difference between the Old Republic and the High Republic, and when do they all end? How long do they last? But I'll just put a link up for that. But I'm going to throw in another question here because it's relevant. Irene Williamson asks what other book and comic characters we could see in the show. And there are some possibilities, but to talk about the timeline, the books and comics take place like 100 years and more before the Acolyte.
Mm-hmm.
So the human characters from the books and comics are probably not going to be around.
Right.
But there is another Wookiee Jedi named Bur Yaga. He's a possibility.
He's a big deal.
That's true.
In the books.
So
If he shows up, we're going to have a problem in the best way.
Everyone's going to be screaming. I don't really think we're going to see him just because Kel Naka exists. And I think people who are more casual viewers of Star Wars might be thrown off by seeing two Wookiee Jedi.
I think at this point in the time period of the Acolyte, maybe Bur Yaga deserves a little time off, a little, you know, vacation. Maybe he settles down and kind of
just have a rest.
Yeah, just chills out for a little while.
You know, I don't know why this just popped into my head. We don't know how long Charhounds live, but maybe Ember could pop up.
Oh.
I still, even though this is not a book and comic character, but Nubs is in the Young Jedi Adventures.
I almost wore my Nubs shirt.
That is a High Republic story set at the same time as the books and comics, but we don't know their lifespan. And I imagine it's probably similar to Wookiees. So we could see just like a tall blue teddy bear walking around the Jedi Temple. It's going to be that costume that they made for events and stuff.
Yeah.
They're just going to have that walking around in the Jedi Temple.
The character that we're most likely going to see is Yoda.
You know, he's not a High Republic character specifically.
He's a all-the-time character. Really. Yeah. He's, what, 900 years old at the time of Return of the Jedi?
He gets to be in almost every era. So, Yoda, Yaddle, Apo Rancisis, Yar-El Poof, Terra Sanube are all characters who are alive in the High Republic and all the way into the prequel era.
Dexter Jetster.
Yeah. And we did talk about this on our live stream, but the fact that it's a mystery thriller and, you know, you need to go to your diner owner and just check in, get the scuttlebutt.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that portion of episode two when Obi-Wan takes the Kamino saber dart to Dex and is asking him questions, and Dex is like, yeah, back in my prospecting days, like, that is the most mystery, detective, thrillery part of the prequels, I feel like. So I would love to revisit that. Revisit Dex at his diner, maybe.
He's a pirate at the time of the books, working with Maz Kanata. We know by the time of the prequel era, when he meets Obi-Wan, he is working as like a miner. And before all that, he was a hyperspace prospector. So he could have another random job at this point.
Sure.
That they run into and just, hey, it's Dexter Jetster. Let's get information from him.
I think we joked that he was maybe a cook somewhere. So he hadn't opened his diner yet, but he was cooking up something.
Sure. Like his first restaurant before he franchised out.
Yeah. Cooking at the Jedi Temple.
He's like, this place is too stuffy and they won't let me follow my dreams and cook what I want. So I'm opening my own diner. As far as the major characters of the High Republic, someone like Avar Kriss, Elzar Mann, they're probably not going to be in this. Could get references to them. Mm-hmm. I do think we'll get a couple name drops, maybe mentions of events, or like, oh, back when we had to deal with the Nile or the Nameless. Like, there could be references to what has happened, but I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of other major characters outside of Vern.
Yeah.
Vernestra, she hates that, sorry. Next up, Elo Asti asks if there's any significance to Endara's lightsaber being on the poster. This being the first poster that had, like, the blood streak, and there's a lightsaber hilt at the bottom, and people think that it looks like Endara's lightsaber according to her action figure.
Yeah, it has, like, a little rectangular piece towards the tip looks the same.
And the wooden parts of the hilt.
Yeah.
They all seem to match. Also, just an awesome poster.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was sick.
Dark, right off the bat.
I was not expecting it to go that hard.
It could mean so many things. Like, just because we think it's her lightsaber could mean she dies, could mean she's the one killing Jedi.
I kind of think it probably doesn't mean anything. And part of that is me just being like, I don't want to look too much into this.
Mm-hmm.
If it is some sort of hint that she's the big bad guy. Instead, I think maybe they just tried every hilt. You know, whoever designed the poster was like, let me see every hilt. We'll take a picture with every single one. And this one seems to look the best. It just fits the vibe the most. So
it would be cool if this was the first of a series of posters where it was like all the main characters' lightsabers are covered in blood.
Mm, could be. So, yeah, I'm not looking into it too much. I am kind of glad that it is a lightsaber from the show instead of just, I don't know, something random.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't really want to investigate so much because it is, I think part of the fun is going to be experiencing it live.
Yeah, and I keep going back to what Leslie Headland said in her interview about, like, this isn't gonna be what you think it is. Like, it feels very, like, whatever you think this is, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to go straight to, oh, that's so-and-so's lightsaber, so they die.
Right. And maybe that was all a purposeful thing where Leslie's like, make it Endara's lightsaber hilt. And mm-hmm. that'll really make him think.
Yeah.
But yeah, the first opening lines, or some of the opening lines of the trailer are like, your eyes can deceive you. She was saying the footage we've seen is only a drop in the bucket, which, of course, it's only like 100 seconds of footage. but I think this is what she wants, is for us to start dissecting things, try to play detective,
mm-hmm.
and probably, hopefully, I hope I fail horribly. Like, I want to experience all the surprises.
Yeah.
To take a little break from The Acolyte, Spider-Man of Earth 1218 asks what our favorite non-Star Wars spaceship is.
There's so many to choose from, I feel like. When I thought about this question earlier, I was like, oh no, I can't think of any other than Star Wars ships. And then they started kind of flooding into my brain.
My mind immediately went to Battlestar Galactica, and I'm a big starfighter pilot fan, so the Viper is what jumped into my head first.
Yeah, love the ships in Battlestar. I especially love the Cylon ships. We're talking about the newer Battlestar Galactica show, not the one from the 70s. Was it 70s or
late 80s? Late 70s, early 80s, I think.
But my mind jumped to the episode where Starbuck, played by Katie Sackhoff, has to fly back to Galactica in a Cylon ship, and like the inside of it is like blood and muscle and tendons and like veins and stuff. So she's in there just kind of like pulling on things and pushing on things, figuring out how it works. And like the inside of the Cylon base stars are kind of similar. Mm-hmm. It just looks like the inside of a body. It was just kind of creepy, like, but it's cool.
part of the Cylons figuring out how to emulate human kind, because that's one of the big parts of that show, is that there are Cylons disguised as humans living among them as spies. So while they were figuring that out, they were making their ships more lifelike.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting.
It reminded me a lot of like the Alien franchise, just like the look and feel of that.
The Alien franchise is interesting because I did kind of think about that, and the ships in that don't really jump out at me. So like the Nostromo, it's just supposed to be like a big space truck. So that sure. one, I'm like, eh.
What about just like the regular old flying saucer? Classic.
Sure. Although I'll make the argument that's kind of a Star Wars ship, because Hondo flies one that's basically just a saucer.
Yeah. Well, the aliens had it first.
Yeah, they did. Hondo stole it from them.
Yeah.
What about Serenity?
Mm-hmm.
We never got to spend enough time with it in the show Firefly.
Firefly, yeah.
I remember when Star Wars Rebels was coming out, and I straight up made like the opening credits of Star Wars Rebels, but it was Firefly,
mm-hmm.
as just a video project, a challenge. But the ghost reminds me a lot of the Serenity. It has the cargo bay. It has all these different living quarters.
Yeah. I'll mention some of the ships in Fifth Element are fun. Like the big crew, like pleasure cruise yacht ship thing that they go to is really cool. And I forget if they take a different ship on the way to that one, but whichever one has the little sleep pods where all you have to do is press a button and you like fall asleep. I would love that.
I could use that some nights.
Yeah.
I'll throw out the Expanse. I like a lot of ships from the Expanse, but the classic one is the Rocinante, the main ship for the crew.
Cool name, too.
Yeah, it means workhorse.
Ah.
It's a great name. I love its design. I've got a model of it. It's just not on display with all the Star Wars stuff, but you got me a model of it. So I really like the way that all the ships are built kind of like skyscrapers, because that's, you know, how gravity works in space with thrust and everything. So just the design of those ships as a far more science fiction accurate build instead of something like Star Wars, where it's just kind of like it flies like this and you walk like this.
Oh, what's the name of the ship in For All Mankind that has like the parachute thing?
Like the solar sail?
Yeah. They copied that from Star Wars.
Yeah, they took that from Dooku.
I just remember as soon as we saw that, we were like,
Dooku.
Dooku's ship.
That's all the time we have for questions today. If you want to leave a question for next week's video, just put it in the comments below or sign up for Patreon to join our weekly Q&A discussion. If you haven't already, please like this video, subscribe to the channel.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and Blue Sky.
And as always, thanks for watching, and may the Force be with you.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.